to episode 11 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. Each week, we'll talk about different adventures and vacation options out there, some local, some more exotic. Join us as we chat about our own travels and those of our clients. Hopefully, our talks will help you dream, plan, and get out there. My name is Sandy, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Elizabeth, Amy, Andy, and Lindsay. Our topic today is how to tell the difference between an amusement park and a theme park, or is there a difference at all? How far does the theming have to go? Who sets the bar and who does it best? What are some of the parks out there that people may not have heard of? All of us have been to several, so there are some opinions to be sure. So let's get started. So what do you guys think? There is like a holy grail of theme park.
And what would that be, Sandy?
Well, obviously, Disney. Well, I think the way I came up with this idea.
Because it is the only theme park. Right? Yeah.
The way I came up with this idea for this podcast was I was in Pittsburgh a couple weeks ago with my family, and we went to an amusement park that I had grown up going to called Kennywood. And Kennywood is awesome. It's, you know, it was opened in 1898. There are some roller coasters there, really awesome old
from
wooden.
1898?
Yeah, do you
from,
ride them?
From 1914, yes.
Wow.
Or 1918, I think, is the Jackrabbit. So they have wooden roller coasters. They have the only double dip roller coaster left in the world. They're phenomenal. They're so much fun, and they're so classic. And they're the type of rides you look at and you don't think it's going to be fun, and you get on it and it's awesome. And it might be a little nostalgia, but my kids love it too. So I think it's, you know, I think there's something there. But when we were walking in, I asked my kids to pay attention. And at the end of the day, I wanted them to tell me if there was a difference between an amusement park and a theme park. And it didn't take them long to figure it out. But I mean, you know, so even though they really loved Kennywood and they have a lot of fun there, they know that at Disney there is theming and there's good theming. So even though Kennywood has this Garfield ride that used to be, I forget what it was originally called, but my parents called it the Tunnel of Love. Do you know, Amy, do you know what ride I'm talking about? Yeah, so they threw Garfield in there with 3D glasses. Yeah. But it doesn't make it a theme park, you know? So I kind of thought it would be cool to talk about what makes it a theme park. What other parks are there like that? I don't know. What do you guys think? Have you been to any amusement parks this summer?
Well, I'm a season pass holder at Carowinds and straddles the North-South Carolina line. And going back to what you mentioned earlier about the wooden roller coasters, there are several of those. I've been to a lot of amusement parks and theme parks, and I think there's a big difference. Obviously, when you've got something that's tied into certain characters and certain ideas, that's definitely a theme park, whether it's Disney World or whether it's SeaWorld, which has the aquatic theme, or even Legoland, which I was at earlier this summer. And everything's themed around the different Lego building blocks, whether it's the Lego Kingdoms, whether it's the New Chima, whether it's the Lego Star Wars. Those are definitely theme parks. The amusement parks, to me, tend to be more about the adrenaline rush, the thrills, the spills, often, you know, just being turned every which way, all about can we go faster, how many Gs can we pull, can we be upside down for the longest, can there be more inversions than, you know, your brain can possibly handle, your body can possibly handle. Carowinds used to be owned by one of the movie studios.
Paramount.
It's now since been taken over by another company, and they've kind of loosely tied it in with Peanuts and the Charlie Brown Snoopy characters there. But they're only in one of the smaller, the children's ride sections, the little kids' rides.
Yeah, they used to have a Scooby-Doo roller coaster. They don't have Scooby-Doo?
They did. That's now still there, but it's being themed just as a haunted mansion. I've been to theme parks in England and continental Europe, like the Smurfs theme park in Belgium.
Okay, that
it's
is...
more blue than anybody should be able
that
to.
That is fascinating. Was it fun? Was that actually a fun amusement park?
It was very fun.
Let me ask you this. How much Smurf... I mean, how big could it be?
How Smurferific is it?
It was Smurf-tastic. It was a lot of fun. The rides were Smurf-themed. Well, but it was just very, very different and probably European. But there are theme parks all throughout the Middle East. There's Ferrari World in Abu Dhabi. Which
sign me up for that.
Wow.
At Carowinds, they have the Intimidator, named after Dale Earnhardt, number 3. That is quite an intense ride. You know, you don't go upside down, but it's one of the only rides. I love roller coasters, and it's one of the only rides I've ever thought, as I was making the initial ascent, maybe I'd quite like to get off. You just have some very, very steep. But yeah, there's definitely a big difference between an amusement park and a theme park. They both have their merits.
You know,
yeah.
You say that there's a big difference, but I think sometimes that difference can be a little bit. Busch Gardens, is that a theme park or is that an amusement park?
That's a good question.
I think it's an amusement park.
What do you say, Amy?
I think it's an amusement park.
I mean, like, the one in Williamsburg has that whole Christmas thing, and there's, like, a village, and they have Ireland, and...
Well, isn't there their whole slogan, at least for a while, was, you know, get to Europe closer, or something like that. You know, like, the whole idea was, our park is Europe. You can... So that's...
The one in Tampa, the Busch Gardens down there, is more themed around animals.
Mm-hmm. And don't they have a brewery there? Because I swear my parents drink...
Busch, Anheuser-Busch. Yeah. That's definitely...
My first brewery tour, I was, like, 8.
A big difference for me with theme parks and amusement parks. I go to Disney probably every year, and we hit Universal, Disney, SeaWorld. I happened to be in Kennywood in Pittsburgh at the same time as Sandy this year, and by fluke, we didn't even go together. But one thing I noticed that was huge to me was the crowd. There were not as many people. The lines were still easy. We're not in waiting in line for an hour and a half. You didn't have to deal with fast passes. You would probably, I think that with the Jackrabbit, might have taken 30 minutes, maybe?
Maybe. And that's because it's the first roller coaster as you walk in.
Right. I mean, and it's summer. It's summertime. Yeah. Everybody's at a school. It's busy time.
You know what I noticed? So the Thunderbolt is one of the best wooden roller coasters in the world, in my opinion. When we were waiting in line for that, we got through really quick, but the people at the front, the teenagers at the front of the line working it, were not directing people where to go to get on the ride. So people were just kind of standing there, and then we'd all get in the roller coaster, and then somebody would say on the loudspeaker, okay, we still have 2 empty seats. You know, like, does anybody in line want to get on this ride? And people were just kind of standing around waiting for someone to tell them. And that to me was, I mean, there were several times during that day I was like, oh, this would not happen at Disney. You know, like, they move those people along and this would not happen. But, you know, it's still.
I've been to quite a few amusement parks / theme parks in the past 2 or 3 years. I've been to Disney World recently. I've been to Universal recently. I've been to Legoland recently in Canada, and I have never experienced anything like that. At Legoland, it was very, very similar. I mean, the crowds weren't on the same scale as you might experience, although the last time I was at Disney, it was at Christmas, so it was absolutely But Legoland, we were there the first week of the school vacation, my son and I. It's one of the, it's aimed really at the 12 and under crowd, but I tell you what, as a 41-year-old, I had a blast. I unleashed my inner child. There's nothing that's going to sort of invert you. Everything's aimed at the tween set, at the eldest. There were some rides that he said, I want to ride this. And it was just, John, you're going to look a little big on that Lego horse going up and down. But he had a blast. But the lines weren't long. I don't think we waited more than 10 minutes for anything. And we got to ride things multiple times. There were people there. It wasn't like we had the park completely to ourselves. But the theming was fantastic. It was a whole lot better than I really expected. I mean, I know Legoland has a good reputation, and they have several parks around the world, whether it's in the original park in Denmark or in London or in California. But I was really, really impressed. I know the one in Florida hasn't been open incredibly long, and being based on the old Cypress Gardens theme park from the 50s and 60s, that still has that nostalgic feel with the old water skiing elements to it, and the lakes and the cypress trees. It was just incorporating that older nostalgic feel with the new Legolands. They're building a new Legoland hotel to try and attract people to come and stay closer to the theme park itself.
How far was Legoland from the rest of Orlando's attraction?
40-minute drive.
To south? So, like, same distance as
Busch Gardens? It's Florida. Yeah. We drove back that way, heading back towards South Carolina, and we hit Kissimmee around 30-40 minutes away from leaving Winter Haven. It's not very far at all. It's very much the poor relations to Universal and Walt Disney World. But I say we had an incredible time.
Part of the reason I asked about Busch Gardens and whether it was theme or amusement is because I think that sort of transitions also into Universal Studios, which I think is probably one of, you know, in my opinion, one of Disney's biggest competitors, location-wise and everything else. And I think that the thing about Universal is it does focus a little bit more on thrills.
Yes, I think they branch both.
Yes, I really do, because the theming at Universal, and I may be shot for saying this, is in some cases better than the theming at Disney. I think they do a great job really bringing you into each environment that you go into. And you know, I've been on the streets of America at Disney's Hollywood Studios, and I've walked down the San Francisco street, and you know, I know that's mostly an effect, and then I've walked through San Francisco at Universal Studios, and I've walked through San Francisco, California, and Universal Studios actually has a great San Francisco feel to it. They've really taken a lot of time to say, you are right now standing in San Francisco, and a few seconds later, you're going to be standing somewhere else entirely. entirely. Right now you're standing in San Francisco.
Yeah, I think they're good. They're the Simpsons area. I haven't been to Springfield yet, but when we were there, it was before they opened up that whole new part. But even that was so awesome. I think they do a good job. I think they're a good
Bridge. Those two are really sort of competing in the greater Orlando area. They both have, I hate to say, a similar kind of budget and a similar kind of marketing strategy, but they are attracting different clientele, really. Even the at Universal, the area, the Dr. Seuss Landing, for that's typically for younger children, I thought was quite intense in parts.
It's very thrilling. Yeah.
And my three-year-old daughter, if I hadn't been holding on to her, she'd probably have bounced out too. But she had a great time, and it was what you would expect from a Dr. Seuss book. You know, you don't expect something sedate and sedentary. You expect sort of twists and turns around every corner. So in that respect, it was very, very well done. The whole Marvel characters area was incredibly well done. And just everything, the theming, it's incredible. We actually ate lunch at the Hard Rock Cafe, which straddles the two Universal parks, and we actually had a Disney pen. And when we came to sign for our lunch, we used this pen, and the guy saw it, the waiter saw it, and he actually snapped it in front of us. So you can't have that actually as a writing implement in this.
Well, and I think the new Harry Potter, actually the old Harry Potter, sort of takes that theming to a new level as well. And
yeah, they did such a good job.
And so I think, you know, when you start defining theme versus amusement, Universal has all the elements of amusement park with the really fast, intensely fast roller coasters. You know, that moment where you become the Hulk and, you know, go from 0 to 60 is intense as any other roller coaster I've ever been on. Yeah. Rip Ride Rocket is a really frightening roller coaster. And I mean, it really, you know, you are going straight up in the air and it actually feels like you're tilting back as you go up. But it's in what I think is really a theme park.
I kind of feel like I love all of the rides at Islands of Adventure and I get that thrill out of them, but I don't get the same fear as I do at, I mean, I don't know if it's because of the wooden roller coasters that give you that anticipation and the chill when you're standing in line. And you were talking before about lines. I grew up with Six Flags and I can't remember one ride that I rode as a child that I wasn't waiting 2 to 3 hours in line for. And Six Flags, that's where you go hang out on the weekend. You get that crowd of people. But I love the theme park theming, and I think it's maybe that feeling of like you get lulled in the theming of you're in that area and you get that safety net of like at Disney of, oh, this is the, whereas when you're in line for an old wooden roller coaster that's been there forever and you get the old school chill of maybe because it was the first ride that I ever went on.
Right. That was ever built in the world, ever.
That's how I feel about Kennywood. I'm telling you, it was like a rite of passage. Every summer I'd come back and I'd graduate to the next roller coaster. First it was the Jackrabbit, then it was the Racer, then it's the Mecca, the Thunderbolt. And the cool thing about the Thunderbolt, like, I remember watching this video of the guy that cleans the tracks every day. Oh my God, this dude straps his legs into the front car and leans over with a brush and rides the roller coaster like that and cleans the tracks that way. It is totally crazy. It's totally insane.
That's totally insane.
Yeah.
That is a thrill seeker.
That was someone's job. Oh my God. Yeah.
I think, are we safe maybe then to assume that a theme park is more of a major destination and
an amusement park
is sort of more sort of local, more sort of regional centric? But that being said, a lot of the amusement parks do tend to up the ante. For example, there is Canada's Wonderland, where they often offer the latest and greatest thrill rides that you might not get with the theming. For example, the Behemoth, which is the big attraction at Canada's Wonderland, goes from 0 to 77 miles an hour in 3.9 seconds.
You just hit it right on the head. That's exactly why I prefer theme parks, because I'm part of a big chicken.
Anything you can bring your infant on?
Yeah. All about it. And I do, I mean, I do think that you're right about the localization too. I mean, we're talking about Carowinds, but I'm highly doubting that anyone who is not in the southeastern part of the country has even, I mean, Lindsay, have you ever heard of Carowinds before?
No.
I
grew up in the Midwest, so I had Six Flags, and we had Wisconsin Dells, which is full of little tiny family amusement parks, and I was on a lot of park stuff, so I totally different.
One of my favorites, and this was owned by the same family that owned Kennywood for a long time, is a park called Idlewild, and it's in Ligonier, Pennsylvania. Yeah. Have you been there, Amy?
My mother took the kids there once.
Oh, my kids love this park, and I will say, and I am a Disney freak, my kids, for the first 10 years of their lives, would rather go to Idlewild than Disney.
Yeah,
and then they have this one park called the Jumping Jungle, where you're in a ball crawl or you're climbing up and you're going down these big slides or you're on these zipline kind of things. And then they have this really awesome part called the Storybook Forest, which I guess you might think it's theming, but basically you're walking through fairy tales, and it's like Hansel and Gretel, and you go into the Three Bears house. And I mean, it was just so cute.
Everything has a theme. Mm-hmm. So the fact that it has a theme doesn't necessarily make it a theme park. That's just the story that goes right. with it. Because right. even, you know, at Carowinds, which I don't think any of us would say is a theme park, there's the NASCAR themed ride. So right. each ride has its own story. And those stories may have changed over time. So I think the Superman ride is no longer Superman, right? It's something else.
It's called Nighthawk.
Right, exactly.
It burns you and puts you on your stomach and you can lose your keys quite. Right.
Carowinds is a ride where you're on your stomach, because there is a ride at Great America that I almost died on a flight. It was seriously close to wanting to just climb down. It was awful. The next time I went for Halloween Horror Nights, which they do every fall, which is fantastic theming around, you know, the horror movies, and they play the scary music throughout the park, and if you're there late at night, it's kind of creepy.
See, I'm all about the not so scary.
Yeah. This is where a theme park embraces me and hugs me and says, oh, pumpkins are so cute.
Well, I think you also have to take into account that the fact that a lot of the amusement parks have a much... Their height restrictions are much taller. So, for example, a lot of the rides at SeaWorld, for example, the Kraken, the height restriction is a minimum of 54 inches. Mm-hmm. That's 4.5 feet tall. Mm-hmm. Whereas, for example, in Disney World, my daughter, who is now 4.5... can ride just about every ride there, maybe with the exception of the Rock and Roller Coaster.
So at Kennywood, the first roller coaster you can ride, which is a rite of passage, is the Jackrabbit, and you only have to be 36 inches tall.
Creepy.
I know 2-year-olds that ride that ride. And you fly out of your seat. It is not appropriate for 2-year-olds. But, you know, it's been around since 1918, and I guess no 2-year-old has actually flown out of it. Oh, I will tell you, people were shorter and skinnier, because when my brother and I got on the racer, we were like, okay, 10 more pounds between us, and we weren't getting on this ride.
You know, actually, a lot of thrill rides are like that, and it is something to be, that we should say, is, you know, going to Universal Studios, and it's one of the things I love about Universal Studios, is they do put their ride seats out so that you can try them out before you attempt to go through the line, because sometimes, I mean, and it can be that you're too short, it can be that you're too tall, it can be that you're too wide, and it can be that you're too skinny. If you don't fit into that seat, then you can't ride. And they let you try that seat beforehand. And it's because those rides are thrill rides. You will fall out. Yes. And I see people, you know, they're like, oh, I'm going to put lifts in my kids' shoes. Don't do that. I'm just going to lecture right now. I say, don't do that. This is for safety.
We must stress, everything is for safety reasons. It's not to restrict the enjoyment level for people, but it is for pure safety reasons.
And has anybody heard the rumor about the Dueling Dragons ride, which is now in Harry Potter? I don't think it's called Dueling Dragons. Maybe it is called Dueling Dragons now, but apparently people were throwing pennies at each other as the dragons were coming close to each other, and so they don't ride them synchronously anymore. You don't get to almost run into anybody, and it takes a big... This is why we can't have nice things, people.
When it first, because I was there right after it first opened, and there was something with things falling out of pocket. I didn't hear about the intentionally throwing.
It's a recent development. People were trying to pass things to each other as they passed, you know, because you come so close to each other. And this is a rumor. I can't actually attest to the veracity of it, but I believe it. And apparently, I can say that they are not running synchronously anymore.
How much fear is enough fear for people? I
don't... It might just be a desperate lack of understanding of physics that we have today.
When does dumbiness take over?
But the thing is, those are the sort of Darwinistic things that, you know, would end up killing me instead of the person who actually was perpetrating the experiment. So anyway, so then are we agreed that the difference between amusement and theme parks is the
thrill?
Is that what it is?
Or is it the cost of entry?
Oh.
I don't know. I think the amusement parks are upping their cost. They see what Disney's getting for a day, and they're upping it, you know? I mean, yeah.
Six Flags still runs that special. I don't know if they still do the Twickets where you go pay for one day and then you can go back the next day really cheap, but they still, every year I hear on the, you know, on the radio, they're doing that special where you can get an entire season pass for the price of a one-day ticket.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty much what Carowinds are doing. It's about $20 more than a one-day pass. You go twice, you pay for your...
And didn't, Andy, didn't you say that you have, like, friend passes or something like that?
We're actually going on Thursday, taking some friends of John's. Friends and family pass, whereas season pass holders, we can take a friend for $25 for the day, instead of the usual 65 or 70. So we're taking advantage of that and taking a group of probably 7 or 8.
One thing that it might be good to note, too, is the food is different. You're not getting the same theming around the food.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair. Although, I tell you what, I was at Legoland in June, and having been to Carowinds, I chaperoned a field trip there at the end of last school year for the gifted and talented kids, and I didn't take any sandwiches, which I usually do because I'm cheap, and I ended up having to walk into a restaurant, and I waited longer in line for food than I waited for a ride at Carowinds, which should say something itself, and I also paid $18 for a pretty disgusting cheeseburger. By the time I got to pay for it, the fries were cold too. But Legoland, I was very impressed with. They actually pride themselves on the quality of their food and its farm-to-table kind of menu. They had a pizza and pasta all-you-could-eat restaurant that was $18.99 for an adult and $8.99 for a child. I thought that was very, very fair for a theme park, and definitely better value than some of the amusement parks I've been to.
So, Amy, you haven't said much. What's your preference, theme parks or amusement parks, or do you even think there's a difference?
I'm thinking, here I am. I'm that person that pays $100 to go into a theme park or wherever, and I don't ride a single ride. And I think that should be a podcast. People like me,
you just take it all in, right?
I'm like the child holder.
I don't know. You know what? Sometimes, though, I have gone to Disney and not ridden a single thing either that day. I mean, I won't usually go for one day, but I will people watch, and I will, and I might see an attraction or a show.
I think that's the luxury of going to Disney a lot. That's a whole other topic.
I think that comes with you go a lot, because I do that a lot too, where I feel like I still feel like I got you even if I don't step foot on one ride. But I like to just sit into the music and enjoy the theming and the transition from area to area, which is
the immersion. You're immersed, and that's the
thing. And I think one key thing that you'll notice is the vocabulary in these parks. They'll call them attractions or they'll call them rides.
Right.
And the fact is, on many of them, you ride. One way or the other, we ride. But is it that one could, you know, the land at Epcot, it's not really a ride. It's an attraction. You know, you're not, that you're in a little boat floating along, learning something. You're not actually, and I don't mean to demean it. I love that. But yeah, it is much more of an attraction.
Even the restaurant in the land is almost a ride.
It's almost a ride.
Yeah. Because it's attraction. Theming. Attraction.
Attraction.
Yeah. All right, guys. That is our show for the week. I'm glad that we found so much to talk about. On behalf of Elizabeth, Amy, Andy, Lindsay, and myself, Sandy, thanks for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we will see you next week. Gotta fly.